everybody. How's it going? This is Roberto J. Donard again, and this is the Tech Journal, episode 4. How's everybody doing? Well, it's been a hell of a week. It's been a pretty rough week. Actually, it's been a pretty rough couple of weeks, but everything seems to be stabilizing out now, so that's pretty good. And hopefully, things will just continue to get better. So, it's been a while since I've been on here. It's been about a month since my last podcast. So, I went on vacation. So, you know, that's where a lot of my time's been spent. So, what's been going on? Well, first, I'm going to tackle the Rocket Boom scandal. Rocket Boom, as you guys know, was Amanda Cognon and I forget the other fucker's name. Whatever his name was, I forgot it. Anyhow, they were partners together. And he says she's leaving to go to Hollywood, pursue other interests. She says, no, she's not. She was fired, and she's living in Connecticut with her parents. Oh, all said and done, I think I believe Amanda before I believe Nutless. Anyway, if you're going to fire somebody, fire them. Damn, come on. Just come out and say it. She'd been fired. He thought he could replace her rather quickly and said Rocket Boom was going to be up on the web before Monday or something like that. Missed his deadline. Well, seems she was harder to replace than what he thought she was going to be. So, just that whole point there just, you know, totally blew my mind. He goes, how are you going to replace Amanda Cognon? Come on now. Amanda, fine. You ain't gonna find anybody to replace her overnight. That's why half the damn viewers watch it, is for Amanda. And not because, you know, of what she talks about, it's because she's hot. That's why I watched it, at least, so, I mean, you know. Well, the past couple of weeks, I hadn't been watching Rocket Boom, so, especially after everything that went down, I don't think I'd ever could ever get into it again. Unless he had, unless he got somebody up there to, you know, do strip teases towards the end of the production. I think that's about the only way I'd watch it again. Anyway, but best of luck to Amanda. I hope everything works out for her. I was one time in a professional relationship, you know, same thing, business partners. And I got fucked. Well, I got literally jabbed up the butt chute with a, you know, crowbar. It didn't feel good, so, you know, I know what she's going through. So, Amanda, hang in there, baby. You'll be fine. Alright. So, what else is going on? Well, I've been keeping up with Port 25 on Microsoft side. I think it's starting a little bit, you know, get a little bit better out there. Most of the zealots that, you know, zealots, whatever, were there are pretty much gone now. So I think it's getting a little bit better out there. Now, Bill Hilf actually, he's put up some blog entries and, you know, seems to be going on, business as usual. So that's great. Great for Bill, great for business. Okay, so, what else is going on? Well, we all know Bill Gates is retiring. Yeah, nothing new to that. Alright, and what else do we have going on? Oh, does everybody know about the, does everybody know about Microsoft now helping to create a ODF plugin for Office 2007? Wow. Alright. Yep. That's the way it was going to go. Okay. So, now, there was a neat little article put up on OS News and using PowerShell through SSH. This is from the front page of the Tech Journal. Alright, got a link up there to it. So, it's kind of lengthy, it's kind of technical. You have to use Cygwin. I'm hoping they find a way to do it through UWin. You know, or somebody needs to work on a native port of SSH for Windows. Come on now, quit with this shit where you have to do everything through damn Cygwin. A nice little command line SSH. Because, you know, I can use it on Longhorn Core. I can use it on Server 2003 Core that I created through Nlyte. Just something. Command line. I hate the GUI. But, you know, that's personal preference. I'm sure everybody else loves the GUI. Alright. This next one was kind of a boneheaded article from APC Magazine, where it says, SUSE Enterprise Desktop 10 has the world's best desktop search. Now, I have used Beagle through SLED 10, and it sucked. Man, I cannot get the thing to work properly half the time. I can get it to work, but only about half the time. And he talks about his instantaneous search. Well, I get the same instantaneous search results when I'm using Kopernik, or if I'm using Windows Desktop Search, or even Vista's Desktop Search. Okay, what makes it the world's best desktop search? I don't know. Because everything that can be done through Beagle and SLED can be done with Windows Desktop Search. Kopernik does not do applications. Sue them. It doesn't. But for me, it's better. Because it's got native ODF open format, open document format iFilter built into it, free. I don't have to pay for it like I do have, like I have to pay for the iFilter and Windows Desktop Search. And it works, the beta 2 works with all available iFilter. So that should be something worth looking into. Plus, it natively indexes Thunderbird, Outlook, Express, Outlook, everything. So Kopernik is my personal preference, and I like it more than any of the others. So SUSE 10, I don't think it's going to come out to be the Vista killer that everybody thinks it's going to be. It's going to come out swinging, but it's not going to be the end-all be-all. It's not the ultimate desktop experience. I'm sorry. You know, I know Novell's worked on it hard. You know. And I know they've done a lot of usability testing and a lot of labs to try to get it up to par. But I just don't see it. I don't see it making a really big dent. It's not because I'm a Windows fan either. I mean, because I think in many ways the Mac desktop surpasses Windows. And even Windows Vista, I think, surpasses a little bit. But, you know, SLED, I don't know. I don't think it's going to really make that much of a difference. Now, if they're a Novell customer or they're a Linux user, then yeah, go for SLED. But if you're a Windows user, stay with Windows XP, upgrade to Windows Vista. You have less of a problem with hardware, you have less of a problem with support, and you're going to have less of a problem with application support. So that's my suggestion. But don't forget, don't upgrade to Vista until 2008. Wait till that Service Pack 1 comes out. Alright, the second article is how Google, well, excuse me, third article is how Google works. Baseline Magazine put up an article that discusses how Google's internal technology group operates. They talk about their setup, their, you know, how many servers they have. They don't talk about what programming language they use the most, but I'm assuming it's Java. Maybe some Mono works its way in there. So, but it's a good article. Either way, suggest you read it. Take a look. Alright. The next one is end to Win98 support may boost desktop Linux. ZDNet has put up this thing where it says that, you know, dying Windows 98 and Windows ME users, well, not dying users, but, you know, the dying operating system, the users won't make some sort of big leaps and bounds to Linux. It ain't gonna happen, people. I remember when NT4 was given end of life. Everybody was predicting this major defection to Linux. Yes, everybody's going to drop Microsoft and go to Linux. And Linux was going to be the inside man for ever and ever. It never happened. Most of those customers ended up moving to Windows Server 2003, which kind of made Red Hat look like a jackass. And Messman from Novell, which he's gone now, made them both look like a jackass. But it didn't happen. They switched to Windows Server 2003, and I don't think it's going to happen here either. Most home users that are in Win 98 and Win ME are going to stick to those until the computer dies. Some of them may go out and buy the $40, $50, $60 copies of Windows 2000 they can find at old computer stores. Because, yes, there are a couple here that sell Windows 2000 legit copies now for about $40. So, I mean, you can buy a copy of Windows Server 2000 for $100. You know? So, I don't think it's going to make a big deal. And besides, the thing is, too, is they bring up Linux supports all the hardware, but if Windows 2000, Windows XP won't run on the hardware, most of the more recent Linux distributions, like SUSE Linux 10.1, Fedora Core, Zandros, and Linspire, and probably most of the Linux distributions out there will not run on that hardware. Okay, not effectively, at least. So, alright, the next one is Google's G Drive spotted. Can Microsoft's Live Drive be far behind? Well, no, because Microsoft did announce Live Drive was going to be coming out. It was in the works. They announced that months ago. So G Drive is, not really news. Google's been working on G Drive for a while. Microsoft's been working on Live Drive. So I don't see it being a big deal. But we'll see how it comes along. Well, this one was interesting. Microsoft cites 10 reasons partners should pitch Vista. And Microsoft, I got the link to the article in the journal, but the thing is Microsoft is also offering a thing where a special where you can buy Windows Vista. This is only for enterprise customers. Pay $50 up front for a copy of Windows Vista. Over 36 months, pay the rest. This is Vista and Office 2007. And I might add, too, that Microsoft is also now offering Virtual PC 2004 for free with SP1. Now, in Virtual PC 2007 will also be free as a special promotion. So that's a good thing, too. That'll be excellent. So I think I'm the only one that uses Virtual PC 2004 on Windows 2000 to host Windows XP sessions. Haha. Yeah. And yes, I do. I'm still on Windows 2000 to the death, baby. Just kidding, I use Windows 2000 Server 2003 too as my desktop too. It's, it's good. It's what Windows XP really should have been. Microsoft really screwed the pooch with Windows XP, but, I'm not going to get into that anymore. Oh, and the end of the support for Windows 98 and Windows ME also marks the end of support for Windows XP Service Pack 1. That ends on October 10th, 2006. So upgrade to Service Pack 2 or Windows Server 2003. Make sure you do it quickly. And also, Microsoft has this thing. I had posted a tech note where it tells you to burn your DVD slowly. They say 1 to 2x speeds. I burned mine at 4, and I've gotten pretty good. But I've always burned installation media at 4x, okay? And I verify the data after I've written it. It's pretty much makes sense to do it. And right now I have a failing install of Windows Vista, and that's because the I experiment with the damn thing, and right now I think the DVD's failing on me, so my applications won't install. I get install errors, all that good shit. So, you know, I think when this new interim build comes out, I'm just gonna do a whole fresh install of it. That's another thing. A new interim build's supposed to be out this week sometime. Let me check. It's on Channel 9. Yep, old Channel 9. Yeah, Charles is doing a pretty good job up there cleaning out the trolls, too. He's manned a lot of them. My eyes. Okay. Ooh. When is this thing supposed to be out? Okay. Yeah, release new week. Okay. It's up on Information Week, by the way. I'll put up a link to it. But, you know, right now there's no link to it. This is recording on Wednesday, so this will be up Friday, I think. Yeah, it's going to be up Friday. It doesn't say when, but they say it's going to be out this week, so good. I really haven't run into that many performance issues with it. The install seems a little long, but, you know, I'm sure they'll iron those things out. Some people have said, you know, I've said Vista is very resource-intensive and claim that most PCs, even those just 2 or 3 years old, won't run the new Windows operating system. I guess mileage does vary, because I've had no problem running it, so getting it to run. But, you know, like I said, the install seems a bit long. That's the only issue I've had with it. And I've got this running thing on Channel 9, too, where I'm putting up the stuff I find wrong with Windows mail, Live Mail Desktop. So, kind of trying to help that team work out some bugs and all that good stuff, too. So, hopefully they'll be able to get it fixed and get some pretty cool features into the next build. Okay, so what is going on next? Like I said, they've done a pretty good job cleaning that out. Microsoft's personnel seem to be doing a good job cleaning out the trolls. And I don't know if it's something that, you know, they've been telling them to do or if they're just taking it upon themselves to do it. But it works out pretty good. Okay. So, you guys know I've got a MySpace up page too. I have personal stuff up there, so, you know, look me up if you get a chance. Ooh. Nothing really. Oh, they released a Creative Commons add-in for Office. They've released a .NET Compact Framework 2.0 Service Pack Redistributable, which this month, and during the critical updates, they also released a .NET Framework 2.0 update. So, now this is pretty good. The WindowsNetworking.com has an article about the new and improved NT backup program, which it did. It has improved a lot. I like the way now you can back it up to DVD as well. So, as well as external drives and everything else. So, cool shit. Oh, and Microsoft and Yahoo are going to bridge the global instant messaging communities. Uh-huh. So, I'm going to join the limited public beta program and see what I can do. I think that'll be great, because Yahoo Messenger with mail, with voice now really sucks. If I'm on a wireless connection, it keeps kicking me off. And don't know why. Oh, Firefox 2.0 has reached Beta 1. It's no longer known as Bon Echo or whatever it was. So, alright, and the July 2006 security release ISO image is on Microsoft's site. Alright, so that's about the end of the news for this little bit. So what else has been going on? Well, the Tech Journal now has its own toolbar. Yes, with Google Search. And I've got the RSS feed up there. And I got an email notifier. You got the weather, and you got a pop-up blocker and all that good stuff. Works on Windows 2000, Windows XP. And there's a version of it for Firefox. It's in the link sidebar, so be sure to grab it. And just a little promotion out there, you know, putting out there to, you know, get my name and stuff out. So I'm even working on trying to get some interviews set up to for the Tech Journal. So we'll see how that goes. I've actually already asked somebody, I'm not going to say who, and he said he'd get back to me on it. He seemed, he didn't seem excited, but he didn't seem like, you know, he really cared all that much, but who knows, maybe he'll do it. If so, it will be the first ever interview. So, stay tuned, more things to come. Grab the toolbar, put it up there. Like people don't have enough toolbars, right? Yeah. It works in IE7 as well as IE6. I've got IE7 right now with it. Looks pretty good. It says Tech Journal on the side. Use Google Search because I haven't figured out how to use MSN Search with it yet. So, I forget the company that makes the... It's a really cool company. You can add your own logo and stuff. What is it? I'm gonna find it. Find the company name for you. Well, Effective Brand Toolbar is the name of it. What it does, it just adds your branding to a toolbar. It's pretty neat. Check it out. Add your own website and blog to it. If you want. If you dare. Alright. Well, this has been episode 4, and I'm going to sign off now. Yep, we got 22 minutes. 22 and a half minutes. So, everybody take care of yourself. And I'll see you on the flip side. Bye.